I would call myself a wellness entrepreneur. I'm into the health and fitness side of things, and I like to kind of bring the personal development and psychology, so the mental health into that as well. So I definitely would say that I go beyond just the physical fitness. I really try to incorporate psychology and what we learn into my fitness. I'm also really into creating experiences that help people live well. So that's a little bit of an abstract concept, but I would say I do like fitness events. And then I also have a retail store, which is basically a store that is dedicated to exactly that, which is helping people live well and elevate their lifestyle, which is something that is quite meaningful to me. Yeah, that's pretty much what I'm at right now.
What kind of fitness are you instructing on?
So I currently teach bar, not the type of bar you're thinking. It's like a ballet
Alcohol.
based workout. Not that type of bar. So it's like a ballet based fitness workout. It's really quite feminine. And the ladies love it. I love it because it's predominantly feminine, and I've just kind of found my niche in that. It's something that I would say is sort of, it's a low impact kind of exercise. So it's good for you, it's sustainable, but it's still a really good workout. So you're not, missing out on getting a good sweat because you're doing something low impact. So with myself, I have a dance and gymnastics and performance background. So that was just something that really resonated with me when I found this as an exercise form. Something else that I'd love to tell you is when I first stopped, I was a competitive rhythmic gymnast and a ballet dancer. And when I first stopped that, I was like so unfamiliar with the concept of exercising just for the sake of exercising. It sounds weird, but I had never actually, even though I was so active, I'd never actually exercised with the point of exercising, getting a workout in. It was always training for a competition or rehearsing for a performance. So having to actually, when I stopped my gymnastics career, I put on a lot of weight, and it was just like I didn't know. Like I went to a gym, I found it so bizarre. I found it weird to be in a gym and just being there to exercise for no other reason. So I think that's also what really, when I started, first I started aerial acrobatics actually,
What is that?
as a fitness form. So that made a little bit more sense to me because, okay, so that's basically acrobatics in the sky, I guess, is the easiest way to explain it. There's a whole bunch of different apparatus. A lot of people are familiar with the aerial silks, which are, it's like a fabric that hangs from usually about 6 meters high, and people do stuff on there. So I originally found that, and that kind of satisfied the performance within exercise for me. And then I later on found barre, which is taking ballet and converting it into something commercial that people who have never done ballet can do and get a workout. So that's kind of how I landed up on that.
Bar looks really, really hard.
So barre is so hard. I think people underestimate it. And I think even if you were to look at my social media and you were to look at the videos, they don't look as hard as it really is. And you're thinking that you're standing, so you're using a ballet bar, that's where the name comes from. So you're standing holding onto a bar, and you've always got a foot on the ground because it's low impact. So you really would think, how difficult can this be? But it's a lot of muscle endurance. Your legs start shaking, and specifically, like I live for the shake. So my bars, I promise you, my bar students know, like they will be shaking in class. Like even if they've been coming for 2 years, I just tell them good things come to those who shake. So yeah, it's
So how
quite
much,
it's difficult.
yeah, I would imagine, how much of it is it a mental game are you teaching them as well through the class?
I think that's something that actually is also really meaningful to me. It's kind of a realization that I had once. I was talking about the fact that I teach these classes, and it really, in that moment, I just had this realization that it's not just obviously in bar, but something physical. When you push yourself beyond a limit, you know, whether it's like one more rep or 10 more seconds or whatever, you are actually like callousing your mind, as David Goggins says. I'm not sure if you've read his book, but every time you do that, you're showing yourself that actually you can do a little bit more than you thought you could do. And I think it takes it, once again, so far beyond the physical benefits that you're getting. It's showing you that, okay, actually, if I make the decision to just keep going, I probably can. I was probably going to stop too soon. So that's really something that I love about the classes. And I think the fact that it's in a group setting, people are encouraging each other at the same time, and it's fun. It's not like you're not being tortured. Well, you are in a little bit of a way, but like by choice. But yeah, I definitely think that what I love about, I would say, any kind of physical exercise, but I just see it so strongly in my classes, is that people are just pushing themselves a little bit more. They're seeing themselves progress. So they're seeing when they put in the work, they're getting the results. And yeah, it's quite special.
Do you see your classes filling up more and more because of how you offer it and the wisdom you put into it with the personal, the mind stuff?
To be honest, I'm not sure. I'm kind of waiting to just show up one day and no one else shows up and it's all over, because I'm not, like, I'm just not 100% sure what the formula is. I think that it would probably be easier for someone who attends the classes to actually give the feedback on that. But I get such different feedback from different people. Like, I know some ladies who come literally love the social element of it. So it's really multifaceted. And then other ladies love that it's such a difficult workout. Other ladies love who have danced. Some ladies have danced in their younger years, and it kind of brings them back to that. So I think that's the other thing that's beautiful about anything that you do and any kind of exercise, is it can satisfy so many different needs for you. It's so much more than doing a physical activity.
Can you talk about the confidence you see in the shifts when people start to come and work on themselves this way through the bar, and the type of, you know, inner confidence they build?
So I've had a lot of feedback, more than I didn't know this was happening originally, but then I started having ladies coming into my class, and we train in a glass studio so people can see in. We're in a gym, and people would come in and they'd say, oh my gosh, I've been looking into this class for like 6 months and I've just been too intimidated or shy to actually come in, which I didn't know was happening, because when I'm actually teaching my class, I'm quite in it. But I think seeing someone actually just eventually come into the class is the first step. And honestly, they don't often leave once they have. They usually have stayed. So I would say that's the first step. So I just see people taking on a new challenge. A lot of people find it a little bit intimidating because they hear that it's based on ballet, it's done to music. They see us doing like these bizarre arm movements and high kicks. And I think people get a little bit intimidated by that. So when they take that initial step, I think that's great. And then when people are actually in the class, I think I know for a fact that there's a correlation between your physical body, your posture, and how you feel mentally. So in the class, we are drilling standing up straight, engaging your core, grounding, as well as pulling up, sort of pulling outwards whilst grounding.
Mm-hmm.
And I really believe that that has a mental effect on people. A lot of the ladies, again, after class, they just say that they feel so good after class. Also, your mind is working. You burn more calories when you're concentrating and you have to concentrate in bar because you have to stick to the music, you have to stick to the counts, the choreography. So I think that the physical things that we do, like the elongating, the stretching, stretching out your muscles as well, stretching out like your fight or flight muscles, I think has a huge impact on your psychology. Those are things that I really love. I don't always share this in my class verbally, but I know what I'm doing and I do see the results of it.
That's amazing. Yeah, it sounds like you're really helping these people, whoever attends, get really present too with how tough bar is and all the exercises.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's another thing. Sometimes I make a joke and I tell them it's like a moving meditation and then they think I'm like psychotic because they drenched and dying. But I really believe that because sometimes we're doing a repetitive movement, but it's difficult. So you just have to be there. You really can't drift off in your mind. You can't think about where you need to be next after class. You just can't because you'll either fall over, you'll miss the timing. You just can't. So yeah, I call it a moving meditation, extreme moving meditation.
I love that. You probably literally see the people who aren't present as they're messing up their moves.
Yeah, really. Like you see when people lose it for just a second, but then they get back. And that's another thing that's lovely about the group environment. And it's why I like the group classes, because it pulls everyone together and no one really wants to be the person that's not doing their part. Even though they're exercising individually, they don't like interact with each other in terms of the exercise. Because we're doing it to music and we're doing things in sync. So you don't want to be that person who is not on the couch.
The one left out doing the weird moves.
Yeah. I feel like you need to come to a bar class so you can really understand what I mean.
I think so. I think it's going to be on the list now. My girlfriend will definitely want to come.
Okay.
So you said one thing. Yeah, definitely. You said after you quit gymnastics, you had put on weight.
Yeah.
So what was that like as an athlete? Because, you know, I was an athlete too, as well. I still won at heart. But to do something for so long and then put on this, how did you start to deal with that?
So I would call it funny now looking back, but the funniest part was that I was in denial for a little while. I think I like convinced myself that I was bloated for like 1 year. I don't know. I think because I don't even know where to start regarding the weight, because being a ballet dancer and rhythmic gymnast, weight has always been a thing. And growing up, I pretty much thought I was quite fat. And I definitely wasn't when I look back at photos, but just in that highly competitive environment, I spent some time training in Russia, and compared to the Russian gymnasts, I was definitely like what you would call fat for a gymnast. I was not fat for a normal person, but by those standards, I was just not where I needed to be. So looking back at that, and I look back at what I weighed then, and I can't fathom that I felt like I was overweight, but I definitely did. And that was actually during my competitive career. The weight was always a thing. I was always like one of the bigger girls out of all the gymnasts. And the same in dancing, like I was one of the bigger girls. I think you also, when you're in that space, you're always focusing on the thinnest girl and comparing yourself to her.
So
I probably wasn't the biggest girl, but I was not the thinnest girl, and that's all that I could really focus on. So, you know, I had that, first of all, before even stopping, the weight was a bit of an issue. If I could show you a photo, you'd understand I really wasn't fat, but I really thought I was. So that's been like an interesting thing, because I look back and I realize that it's really your perception. And if you don't deal with that, you're actually never going to be okay with the way you look.
Mm-hmm.
So just coming back to your question, sorry, I digressed there.
No, that's fine.
So then having stopped gymnastics, I think I was doing about probably 4 hours of gymnastics training a day, 3 to 4 hours, and then 3 to 4 hours of, or 2 to 3 hours of dance. So I could say, like, definitely I was training for about 6 hours a day. So to go from that to just nothing, you can imagine. And then I think there was also a sort of freedom that came where I started eating really badly because I thought I could now.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kind of spiraled out of control. And before I knew it, I had put on 10 kilograms, which was a lot. I know people put on more weight than that, but for me, that was like a lot of weight.
Yeah, for a ballet dancer, I would imagine, and gymnast.
Yeah, it was a major, major problem. And the funny thing is that I didn't notice putting on 1, 2, 3, 4. I just noticed when I had put on 10. And then I had to kind of try and tackle that. So that's where I had to try and get back, like start exercising for the sake of exercising, for the sake of losing weight. And I would definitely say that was a really messy time in my life. I was just really trying to figure things out, and yeah, that was a little bit messy.
What were you doing to try to figure it out? What types of things did you incorporate to help you through those times?
So at that time, I had started studying interior design, which wasn't helping things because I wasn't a great student, but when I was doing my work, I was sitting behind the computer designing and eating and procrastinating, and then having to make a deadline and staying up all night trying to figure this out and just doing all the worst things. So I think that I started like going to the gym, but I didn't really know what to do in the gym. I didn't really know. It was just so much metal everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And people, and I don't know, it was bizarre. It was so bizarre. And then I actually started going to classes. I think that must have been my, like a bit of an introduction to group fitness. I started going to classes, but again, I think that with the weight, for an average person, like if I wasn't considering myself an athlete, which for some reason I still was at that point, even though I wasn't an athlete, I was still judging myself by those parameters.
Mm-hmm.
People would say, like, your body is so nice. And I'd be like, are these people blind? I'm so fat. So I was going to gym and I was just still feeling fat, although I think I looked just like a normal person. I'm trying to remember. Oh, I remember where the big shift happened. I think I was feeling quite uncomfortable in the gym. And then I got I think it was like a DVD set. That seems so ancient now, but that's what it was. And it was this American guy, I don't remember his name, but he did this high intensity interval training, which I had never done before.
Was it P90X?
Nowhere in my life. Who does that? What is his name?
Tony something.
I don't remember. I think he was an athlete. Oh, I'll try to remember. I don't know. It was called Insanity. That's what it was
called. Oh, yeah, it's the same guy.
Is that the same guy?
Yeah, it's the same guy.
Oh, wow. I've not actually thought about him in the longest time, but he really helped me. So I got these DVDs and I started doing these workouts at my house. And I loved them because they were short. And I naturally have a high heart rate. So I was getting to like my max heart rate, and I started burning fat and I started dropping weight. And I was just, I loved it. I just absolutely loved it. So, yeah, so I did that. I don't remember. I think it's like a certain, I don't know if it was like a 3-week or a 4-week course or something like that on the DVDs. So I did that and I dropped this weight without changing my diet, which is what made me so happy because I was still eating whatever I wanted. Yeah. So that was actually the shift. And that, I think that's what, it also aligned well with me because I'm not an endurance trainer. I'm not like an endurance athlete. Yeah. So I like high intensity. I didn't know what high intensity interval training was before that. But that was kind of what showed me. And I could do it. I was doing 30 minutes and once a day and like weight was falling off me. It was amazing.
So is that what led you back into being able to go and teach bar and the ballet and the acrobatic aerobics?
I think what happened after that is once I felt a bit more comfortable, I just started exercising. That was quite intense when I did the insanity. Hence why it's called insanity, I guess. That was a bit intense. But then after that, I started doing, I think, just normal classes. I started yoga. And yeah, so that was not actually when I started bar, but I did find the aerial school, the circus school where I trained. So I started just training with them because people do this for fitness, but in the hopes that I could one day perform for them, which I now do. So I just found a little bit more of a balance. It definitely wasn't like the peak of my fitness career. Mm-hmm. And at that time, I think I was also, to be honest, I think I was denying a part of myself, which was, I think that I would now call it movement. Like movement is a really big part of my life. And I just think coming out of this really stringent, rhythmic life and dancing life, I just kind of wanted to detach from all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So within that, I think that I kind of denied a bit of a natural talent that I have for physical movement. And I think that I, at that point, could not realize the love that I have for movement or exercise. So it took me a little while to like recalibrate and then reintroduce myself to fitness.
That's awesome.
To movement,
so,
I'd say.
Yeah, so the movement. And I know the movement's a big part of bar, what you do now. And where has your fitness led you now? Because I know you just opened a store as well.
Yeah, so
how is that movement still part of what you do?
So what I did, I'll give you a bit of background. What I did about, I think it was probably about a year ago, is I sat down and I tried to get really present in terms of what is really important to me. And in terms of my priorities and finding out what the meaning behind those priorities are.
Mm-hmm.
So at this point, it was a really, again, it was a really like meaningful exercise. And I would really say that shifted me dramatically in a good way. I knew that at this point I was teaching bar. I was already working in retail, but not what I'm doing now. I was working for, we had stores like a different brand. So I was already working in retail and I wasn't loving that. And then I was teaching my bar classes and I loved teaching the bar classes, but I didn't know why I loved it. So it's like, I don't think that actual fitness is that important to me. People find it strange when I say this because I'm always doing fitness,
mm-hmm.
but it's not the fitness itself that is important to me. So last year I sat down and started working on with my coach. I started working on what is the meaning? Why do I do the things I do? Why do I find fulfillment in certain things? And I realized why I like teaching the classes and the meaning behind that. And I realized a whole other bunch of things. And then I started trying to, I knew that I wanted to have a business. And I didn't know exactly what that would be. I think I also, doing that work, I had the realization that the business is sort of just the vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that much about what the business is, like the title of what you're opening, what you're starting, but it's the vehicle for you to be able to do what is meaningful to you. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so I'm curious now, what is behind, what's really driving the teaching?
There's like a few, there's a few values in there for me that it fulfills. The connecting with the ladies, with women, is something that is really important to me. There's also a sort of social leadership aspect to it. And I think going back to when I was young, I didn't feel, I hear a lot of people say this, so I'm always apprehensive to say it, but I didn't fit in. But I think at the same time, a lot of people who say they didn't fit in, that's what's led them to the point of telling the story to someone because they've done mm-hmm. something about that. So I think that I didn't really feel that I fitted in that much. And I think that that sort of drove me to want to have some kind of social leadership, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's definitely something that that it fulfills for me. Also, the like physical fitness and vitality is important to me. But for some reason, I don't always have the discipline to actually train consistently by myself. So by teaching the classes, it gives me the accountability. I have to show up. I have to be there. I have to give my best. I mean, I want to give my best.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, those are just a few of the things. It ticks a lot of boxes for me, but there's a lot behind the fitness class.
That's amazing to hear.
Thank you.
Awesome. So, all right, so carry on. So you start to curate this idea to build a store.
Yeah. So something else that came up for me when I was working on what is important to me and what is meaningful to me, I realized that I love experiences. For example, I could go to a really lovely coffee shop and just love it more than I should love it. It's just a coffee shop. But there's a certain feeling when you're in that space and the person has put love into creating that space. And there are things that I really enjoy. Beautiful experiences,
mm-hmm.
which is so open-ended. Obviously, it's different to everyone. But I originally started with my wellness events. I create boutique wellness events. And again, although it's a fitness event, for me, it's about creating an experience for people. So I think that I don't think people arrive and come to these events and think, wow, this is such an experience, but they do get a feeling. So I realized that that's something that I love to do. And I tried to work out how could I, with the skill set that I have, with the experience that I have, how could I pull that all together and create this business, which will be like the vehicle for me to satisfy what is meaningful to me. So having the background in interior design, I studied and practiced interior design for a few years. And then, of course, having the fitness and wellness background, having a huge interest in personal development, and then having a little bit of retail experience. Also, my fiance is a retailer. So just pulling all those things together, slowly but surely, we ended up with the store.
I love that. I love the experience thing because I put on experiences. And I don't call them like retreats, I call them experiences.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, and then the design piece too, I love space. So just hearing that, like I totally get what you're saying.
Yeah. And it's weird how when you're, like when I was putting it together, I thought, this is so like abstract, no one's going to get this. No one's going to get this, that I, like what I'm trying, because it's not a tangible thing. But people do really come into the space and they say, it feels so lovely in here. They say, it feels nice here. Like they say these abstract things. And I'm just like, yes, 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 that's exactly what I wanted. Like sometimes they, it seems like they also are not sure what they mean, but they just get a kind of feeling. So yeah, I think that getting really present with what is important to me and what I love experiencing, and then converting that into something that I can share and then monetize, has been an interesting, we're only at the beginning of the journey, but I mean, it's been interesting up to this point.
Yeah, so you didn't allow your abstract creativity to prevent you from taking action.
Well, I had to, it wasn't as easy as, I was very nervous.
Mm-hmm.
It was a huge risk. And I think that, well, the way I feel about it is when you're doing something that is meaningful to you, there's a lot more on the line, because you feel like if it doesn't work, it would be a personal attack on you. You feel like it's so much more like rejection. I feel the same with my classes, because I really try to give people this experience. If people didn't like that, it would be harder for me to deal with. So anticipating that was a little bit nerve-wracking. Like I had quite a bit of anxiety, but I turned 30 this year, and I had also used that as a, like a marker. I said to myself, I want to take a step, something that's a big step for me. It might not be a big step in someone else's eyes, but something that really like scares me and excites me equally. I want to do that before I turn 30. And I turned 30 on the 25th of May, and I opened the store on the 1st of May. So I think it was good to, thank you. So I think that it was good to, I just pushed myself. I had a lot of fear, to be honest, but I just pushed myself beyond that.
And what was it like to be able to break through that from going, you know, from teaching and then opening your store and pushing through those fears? Because I know a lot of times it stops people from taking action.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually love that you bring that up, because I was just thinking about how every time I've taken an incremental step, like even when I started teaching classes originally, I was so fearful. But then when you look back, it's so weird. It's like it just dissolves, and it's almost embarrassing because you're like, what were you so scared of? That was not even a major thing. So I think every single step that I've taken, I've been so fearful. The first time I did a wellness event, I literally thought, what if nobody comes? Like it's a possibility. And yeah. then I thought, no way, that's not even bad. What if like one person comes? That's way worse. And I don't know. Like, I'm not sure how I did it, because I know that I was honestly terrified at all these junctures. And it's just like, you just, the more you push yourself through it, obviously the bigger challenges you keep taking on. And then when you look back, you feel so silly about ever worrying about that. Like, maybe it wouldn't have worked. Some things haven't worked, but you survive, you know, and then you just keep going.
What was one of the like mountains you had to climb in order to open your store? Any big challenges you had to face in tackling that?
Wow, I don't think we have enough time for that. I think the first, it would have been a challenge, and it was something that I chose to not let it become a challenge that would stop me, but it was the capital outlay. So for a long time, I've said to myself, oh, I want to start a business, or I want to open this, but now I don't have the finances to do it. I haven't saved up enough. So about 2 years ago, I had said, I'm starting to save for a business. I don't know what the business is. I really had no idea at that point what it was. I had some ideas, but it was not concrete. But I just decided I'm not going to let the finance be the reason, because that's, I think that's one of, probably one of the biggest reasons that a lot of people say that they don't do what they want to do, you know, mm-hmm. financial constraints. So 2 years ago, I just started saving so viciously so that I had to believe that one day the idea would come and then the money would be there. And I thought, okay, and if it doesn't, I'll just have a chunk of saving. So that was definitely something that it wasn't a challenge, like it didn't stop me, but it could have stopped me. And I think also I didn't want to have to like borrow money, or I really wanted to have, I didn't want someone to be able to say, no, I won't borrow you the money, and therefore I couldn't open it. Like, I wanted to be master of my own destiny there. So, yeah, that was something that it could have stopped things, but luckily it worked out in this instance. That was one of the things. Another challenge, I would say, it was just sort of refining the idea. It's all great while you're conceptualizing. That's so much fun because you're just thinking freely and you're just open to anything. But then when you have to say, okay, what can we do and what can't we do and what are we doing? And what are we going to spend this money on? Because I didn't have like infinite cash. So prioritizing what, because I love nice things, okay? but I had to really rein that in because I just had a limited amount of capital. So making those like concrete decisions in terms of what are we going to do? Where is the shop going to be? What is it going to look like? Even though I studied design, it's so different to design something for someone else versus for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So there was that. And then because it's a multi-brand store, deciding which products and brands we wanted to have in the store, and on every single product, I had to ask myself, is this aligned to you? Is this truly aligned? Do you want to sell this to someone? Does it like give you, are you excited to sell this to someone? So just trying to also get the balance between being commercial and doing something that is really aligned and meaningful to me.
Yeah, those are powerful questions to ask about selling products.
Yeah, I think so. It's like, I think the thing is you don't know if what you like is what other people like. You just don't know.
Right.
You just like have no idea until you do it. So the stance that I took for this store is that I was like, well, I don't know what people want or like. Obviously I can do some market research, but the best shot that I have is to create something that I like.
Mm-hmm.
And that was pretty much how I judged everything. I was like, I want to create a space that I would love. I want to have products that I absolutely love. I want to bring things into our country that we don't have here, but I wish we had here. And that was pretty much how I made every single decision, but it is nerve-wracking.
That's awesome. That's really, really, really inspiring.
Thank you.
So I have a question for you. What wisdom would you share with a female who's desiring to go and, you know, be an entrepreneur and take their life to the next level? What's been one of the things that's been great for you that you'd love to pass on?
So I think that I have a few, but like I said, the sitting down, and this is, it's harder than you think, but sitting down and really asking yourself these tough questions. Most people think they know what is important to them off the cuff, but so often we have so many injected ideas. We have like, we want to make our parents proud, we want to maybe keep our social circles happy, we don't want to like upset people. There's so many things going on that we don't even realize that we actually need to sit down and filter out and get really present and find out what is it that I truly, truly value? What do I truly want to bring to the world? What do I want to do every day? I think just asking those tough, tough questions, it's not a fun process.
Right.
it's like not a fun, it's not a fun exercise,
mm-hmm.
but it's definitely worth it. Yeah, and I would say to have those questions, and then once you've got your answers on like what is important to you, what is the message you want to bring to the world, obviously that sounds grand, but that's what it is at the end of the day. What do you stand for? Every decision you make thereafter, you should kind of use that as a litmus test. Are these satisfying those priorities, goals, or the answers to those questions? I would definitely say that would be the most important thing. So just to try like filter out what other people are saying.
Right. Get all the other voices out of your head.
Yeah. And it's so much harder than it sounds.
It takes fucking work.
It takes so much fucking work. Like, most people are like, of course I know what's important to me. Like, of course I know what I want to do. But it's just, you need to get so deeply into it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just, like, I don't want to preach. I've just seen how much that helps.
This is a platform for preaching.
Fab. I spent like a lot of time on that. And I really think that once I came out of that work, I make it sound so like torturous now, it was. Once I came out of that, I just had such a clearer just idea of what the things that I'm, even the things I'm doing unconsciously, why I'm doing those things
mm-hmm.
every day. It's to have that clarity of mind, I would definitely say is the first step. And then the second thing, I think I'm happy the way I did it, where I saved the cash for the business. That was never going to be the thing that stopped me, because like I say, I really think that is, it's something that either stops people or it's an excuse that people use.
Mm-hmm.
It is a big thing. You can't stop the business without the money. You just can't. So just if you even feel like you might want to start a business, just start a business savings account and don't touch that money. And worst case, you're not giving it away. It's still yours. You know, if you never do the business, it's still your money. But just to actually take that step. And I think that's also what gives you, it makes things real. You know, you've now mm-hmm. started actually actively taking money that you could have spent on something else and putting it towards this venture.
Right. It's something you love.
Yeah.
It's kind of like adding value to yourself.
Yeah, definitely. And then it also makes you ask important questions. You also like, wait, do I really want to do this? Because once you've got that money, you've saved it for this business, but now you have to risk it on yourself. And it really gives you a huge amount of accountability, because you're like, you've spent this long saving this money risk-free, and now you're about to risk it. Like, have you done all your checks and balances? Have you really thought this through? I think that that's something so important. So even if you have the option to lend money or borrow money, I would definitely say, maybe if it's not the entire investment, definitely invest in yourself for the accountability. And it definitely increases your self-worth. Like, to see that you can save towards something
mm-hmm.
and then make your dream happen. Is major. So I would definitely advise that for anyone.
Sweet. I love it. So on the final note, where can we find your store in South Africa? On that note.
All right. So I think if there's international people, they can have a look at the store on Instagram. The handle is alchemystore_SA. And then my personal Instagram is Taz Falconer. And for anyone who's actually in South Africa or visiting South Africa, the store is in Johannesburg, and it is in a shopping center called Hyde Park.
Lovely. Awesome.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for sharing today and coming on the show.
Thank you. That was really fun.
Absolutely. It's good to have you.
Thank you.